Welcome to Be Boomer Unleashed, Episode 11. I'm Jerry Lake, the Unleashed Baby Boomer, and I'll be your host today as we talk about alternatives to cable and satellite and some of the other entertainment that's placed in front of our eyes and our children's eyes today. And we're going to, take a close look at some of those things, and hopefully it'll be of benefit to many of you. Before we do that, though, let me remind you where you can always find our podcast. You can always find us at beboomerunleashed.podbean.com. You can find us on iTunes, Facebook, Spotify, Tumblr, Instagram, and Google Play at beboomerunleashed. You can find us on Twitter at beboomerunleashed1. And you can always drop us an email, and we love to hear from you at beboomerunleashed@gmail.com. beboomerunleashed@gmail.com, or just drop us a note, message us on Facebook, and tell us what you think. Well, as we talk about the alternatives to some of this entertainment that we've been talking about from the 50s up through today, about 5 years ago, I'll tell you a little story here. About 5 years ago, I had cable TV, and before that, I had a satellite dish. Matter of fact, I had one of each a few years apart. I had DirecTV, and then Dish Network offered me a better deal, so I tried them. And then we moved here to Barbersville, and we hooked on to cable TV. Now, we had basic cable, no premium channels, none whatsoever, and it was costing us about $79 a month. No add-ons, nothing, just basic cable. Well, I come home from work one day and flip on the TV, and I had lost about 12 or 13 channels. They're gone. And so I call up the cable company and say, hey, I lost my networks. I lost several channels that we like to watch here. They're gone. What happened? Oh, we just moved those. We just moved them there up on channel 200 and something. I said, I don't have channel 200 and something. Oh, yeah, you do. It's on the box. I said, I don't have a box. And they said, sure, you have to have a box. I said, no, I don't have a box. I had basic cable. That's the reason I got basic cable, because I didn't want to fool with a box. Well, you have to have a box if you're going to watch it. Well, I said, well, how much is this box going to cost me? Well, it's $10 a month for the box. I said, do I have to have a box for every TV in my house to watch cable? They said, yes. I said, I have five TVs. They said, well, you have to have five boxes. I said, I don't want five boxes. I said, I just want basic. I said, why don't you do this? Why don't you just charge me about 10 bucks a month and just give me the local channels? That's all I want. Well, we can do that, but you'll still have to have a box. And I was getting a little bit aggravated. And I said, so you're telling me just the local channels, I'm going to have to pay $10 or $15 a month plus $10 a box for 5 days. So just for the basic channels, nothing extra, I'm going to have $60 or $70 a month. Yep, that's what I'm telling you. I said, I don't want that. Well, if you're going to watch TV, you have to have those boxes. I said, au contraire. I said, I'm paid up through December the 8th. I want you to disconnect my cable service at the end of December, or at the end of the day on December the 8th, and I don't ever want to get a bill from you folks again. So I said, that's what I'll do. So that's what they did. So what did I do? I said, well, I'm going to have some sort of a alternative here. So I called a company. Actually didn't call them. I looked them up on the internet, and you can find them also at solidsignal.com, solidsignal.com, all one word, solidsignal.com. And they have a consultant there. You plug in your address, and you can have a live chat, or you can talk to somebody, tell them where you are, and they'll tell you what kind of antenna you need to buy and the equipment that you need to hook that up. So they told me what antenna I needed to buy. They said I also needed to buy a signal booster because I was going to feed 5 televisions with it. And I got a tripod and a mast and some coax cable. And $174 later, I had 19 channels for free. Had all the networks. I had, some of the other channels around about. I had public broadcasting. I had religious broadcasting. So for $174, I had 19 channels. Now, our internet is through DSL telephone lines. You can also use a Verizon MiFi to connect if you want for your internet. But I had 19 channels. And I said, well, let's see what else we can do to enhance this viewing experience. And so we found out that we could get Netflix. It's at the time, it was like $7.99 a month. I think it's up to about $10.99 a month now. And that's $131.88 a year. Amazon Prime, that's a good deal too, because you get free two-day shipping on most stuff. You get free Kindle books, many books as you want to read on your Kindle. And you get this TV package, and it costs you about $119 a year. So I did a little price comparison. Premium cable, what I would have ended up paying had I got the five boxes and got some channels, I would have paid $139 a month for TV. That's $1,668 a year. Now, Dish Network, I can get their basic, package for about $100 a month. So that's $1,200 a year. Now, Prime and Netflix together, remember I paid $174 for a one-time fee for the TV antenna. Prime and Netflix together are $250.88 a year, not a month, but a year. And if you need to watch anything besides what's on Prime or Netflix, you're just watching too much TV. Now, that was a savings of $1,417.52 over cable and a savings of $949.12 over satellite. Well, what could you do with that extra money? Could you maybe spend that on family activities? Now, I bought a Roku. You can buy a Roku or you can buy an Apple TV or whatever. Or some of you have smart TVs. You can get this stuff over already. But if you buy a Roku, they're about $40 or less. And Apple TV is better part of a $100 bill. So couple that with your internet and you have all this programming coming in. Now, let me preface what I'm about to say with this. Whether you have satellite, whether you have cable, or whether you have a Roku with Netflix and Prime on it, you can't leave your kids alone to watch TV. The TV cannot be a babysitter because there's just too much content there that you don't want your children to watch. So their TV viewing has to be supervised. If you've got a TV in the family room and you're in the kitchen, you need to see and be able to hear what's on that screen, what you're listening to, what they're watching. You cannot substitute the television for good parenting or grandparenting. You can't do that. Regardless, well, there's a bunch of nasty stuff on Netflix. Let me tell you, there's a lot of nasty stuff out there on Prime, but there's a lot of good, wholesome stuff on those channels too. But you have to be the one in charge. You can password protect those things so that the kids can't get to them, but you've got to be in charge of that media. Whether you're using 19 channels on the antenna. Now, in some of the larger markets, you're in a larger TV market, you might get 50 or 75 channels. In our motorhome that we travel in, we crank that antenna up and program the channels in a more populated area, and we'll get 50 or 60 channels in our motorhome for free. Doesn't cost anything to hook up. So if you could save an average of $1,200 a year from what you're doing now, what could you do with that money? Do you think you can maybe spend it on some family activities? $1,200 would buy you a pretty decent vacation. Now, it wouldn't probably take you to Disney World, wouldn't do those kinds of things, but you could have a nice camping outing or a trip to a state park or a national park or something for that extra money. And what are you paying for? You're paying for TV, which should be free. Like I say, Netflix, Amazon Prime, there are others. Now, on your Roku or your Apple TV, there's all kinds of free programming on there from a lot of different networks. Doesn't cost you a thing. But once again, you have to be in charge of it, not your kids, not your grandkids. There's some other alternatives that you could have too. There's a provider called Pureflix. Now, obviously, their selections aren't as broad as what you would have on Amazon Prime or on Netflix, but they have a multitude of family-friendly movies and programming. It's called Pureflix, and I think it's $10 or $11 a month. And you can be sure that your kids aren't going to be watching anything nasty or degrading on that. Also, DVDs. You can go down to the Red Box. You can buy you can rent DVDs there, first run stuff. You can go to some big box store or some discount store, and they've got DVDs that, you know, they're not brand new first release movies, but you've got DVDs there that you can buy for $3, $4, $5, $6, $8. And if your kids were anything like my children were, or my grandkids are now, they'll take the same video, if it's a good one, and they'll watch it 72 times. So, you know, they'll just watch it over and over again. And if it's good, who cares what they do? You know, my little baby granddaughter, she's about 4 now. She'll watch My Little Pony till the cows come home, you know. So there's a lot of family-friendly options out there on DVDs. Here's another thought, some alternative to watching TV all the time. Have you considered sitting down and playing board games with your kids? What? Yeah. How about Monopoly or Stratego or Backgammon or Chutes and Ladders or Clue or any of these other games that you might be able to sit down and actually talk with your kids and have a fun time around the kitchen table? You know, when I was growing up as a kid, we played all kinds of board games all the time, and we did the same with my kids, with my grandkids. My grandkids love to play games, and my son plays games with them, board games. You don't even have to turn on the TV for entertainment. You can entertain yourself. Dominoes. We've played for several years a game called Mexican Train Dominoes. And you can either play with, depending on how many people you have, you can have play with 9, or you can play with, you can play with double 9s, or you can play with double 12s. Double 6s aren't quite big enough. But you don't have to count the 5s at the end of each spider leg. You just play the dominoes, and the first one that goes out, everybody else counts what's left in their hand, and the one with the lowest score after you go down through all the doubles wins. It's great fun. My grandkids love playing Mexican Train Dominoes, and we do too, and we play it with some friends, and it's great entertainment. You don't have to sit around the tube, the one-eyed monster, to have entertainment. There's alternatives. Here's a novel idea. Wait for it. How about going to church as a family? How about loading everybody up in the same car and going to church together? Don't drop your kids off or your grandkids off. Don't just pull up to the door and drop them off. Go with them. Take them to church and go as a family. And there are great activities at church. Most churches, a lot of churches have good youth programs. I know my son's church up in northern Ohio, they just started a dodgeball league. There are basketball leagues, there are softball leagues. There are a lot of fun things at our church. Sometimes we have just an open gym night. Sometimes we have game night where people come in and play games. You can have a chess tournament, a checker tournament, whatever. But there's a novel idea for you. How about going to church as a family? Here's an even crazier idea. Brace yourself for this one. How about having dinner each night with the family? Instead of mom going through the drive-in with little sis on her way to some cheerleader practice or something, or dad going through Burger King with Junior on their way to some other activity, and everybody going different directions, why don't you have dinner together every night as a family? Now, you have to have some rules at that dinner table. Rule number one, no technology at the table. That includes mom and dad. That includes brother and sis. No technology at the table. And don't sit in front of the TV on a TV tray eating your dinner. Sit at the table as a family and actually have a discussion. Now, if you're not used to doing that, if you haven't done it before, your kids will think you're crazy the first few times you do it. But then pretty soon, they kind of enjoy doing it. But have that meal. And if your schedule absolutely won't allow you to do that every day, do it as many days as you possibly can. And once again, the rule is no technology at the table. And when you go out to a restaurant, you know, what is so important, unless you've got somebody in the hospital that's about ready to die, or you've got a daughter or a granddaughter that's about ready to give birth to a baby, what is so important that can't wait an hour for you to eat a restaurant. You go to a restaurant and there'll be a family of four sitting around the table and they'll all be have their nose in their cell phone texting. Spend some time talking with each other. I know it's a novel idea, but it needs to be done. Now, why should we be concerned? Why should we even be looking for alternatives? Well, because of what's out there. You know, kids today, a lot of them aren't watching much broadcast TV or movies or streaming. They're turning to media like YouTube. YouTube is hotter than all get out. And there you can see about anything. Now, here's what I use YouTube for. If I break something and don't know how to fix it, I can go on YouTube and type in how to fix this, and here'll be seven videos pop up, somebody showing me how to fix that. I had a problem with my truck last year. I didn't know what was wrong with it. I go on YouTube and put in the symptoms, and $24 later, my truck was fixed, and I did it myself. You know, those are good things you can do with YouTube, but I just read a report recently that on YouTube for kids, and there's YouTube and then there's YouTube for kids, there were explicit instructions on there for a kid on how to kill themselves. That's right. How to kill themselves. There's all kinds of things on YouTube. Now, they try to monitor the content on there, but they can't monitor everything. You know, every time some terrorist blows up a building somewhere or shoots a bunch of people, first thing you do is go to their Facebook account or their YouTube account and see what they've been watching or see what they've been broadcasting. Then it's too late. But let me tell you something, folks. YouTube, you got to monitor that too. You have to be in charge of YouTube or YouTube for kids. Just because it says YouTube for kids doesn't mean that all the content is safe. You know, there's an epidemic in this country on pornography. There's a group called Webroot. They're an internet cybersecurity company, and I stumbled across their website the other day, and if you're looking for internet security, this is one company that I think they've got their stuff together. They have this internet cybersecurity company to protect you and your kids, and they had some interesting statistics on internet pornography, and these are up to date. Pretty up to date. But you got to remember, with the statistics on internet pornography, those statistics change every day. The amount of pornographic material available on the web is staggering. As introductory economic search engines and other online data depositories tell us, the market for such material is huge. Now, I'm going to give you some statistics there that I think will surprise you because they surprised me. First of all, every second, not every minute, not every day, not every hour, but every second, 28,258 users are watching pornography on the internet. That's every second. Every second. Over 28,000 people watching pornography. Every second, $3,075.64 is being spent on internet porn. Every second, 372 people are typing the word adult into a search engine looking for adult pornographic material. Every day, 37 pornographic videos are created in the United States. Every day, 37 new porn videos created in the United States. Every day, 2.5 billion emails containing porn are sent or received. Every day, 2.5 billion emails concerning porn are sent or received every day. Now, this is worldwide, okay? 2.5 billion. Every day there are 68 million search queries related to pornography. And that amounts to 25% of the total searches every day. So 25% of the searches on internet every day are related to pornography. Did you hear what I'm saying? 25% of the total searches every day are pornographic related. There's 116,000 queries every day related to child pornography. So how does online pornography affect Americans? How does it do that? What's the effect? You realize about 200,000 Americans are classified as porn addicts. They're addicted to pornography. Now, that doesn't count your casual users. That doesn't count the people who like it or whatever. That's addicts. They're addicted. They can't quit. 40 million American people regularly visit porn sites. 40 million folks. 40 million folks regularly visit porn sites. And I'd say that there are people in your own church, in your own neighborhood, that are sitting around watching porn right now. 35% of all internet downloads are related to pornography. 34% of internet users have experienced unwanted exposure to pornographic content through ads, pop-up ads, misdirected links, etc. A third of the porn viewers are women. By focusing on the data behind the creation and consumption of pornographic content, the dangers facing people can easily be overlooked. The sheer magnitude of available online pornography is merely one aspect of a larger issue that plagues society. So how does internet pornography use affect teens? Well, it increases the odds of teenage pregnancy, hinders sexual development, raises the risk of depression, and creates distorted expectations, which hinder a healthy sexual development. It's a problem. The negative effect on pornography doesn't end after the development. That can be just as harmful to families and marriages. Families and marriages. How many husbands out there are porn addicts? You know, the Bible says that thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, if you're married and you're supposed to be faithful to your spouse and you're out here on porn sites having sex in your mind with some of the people on the screen there, that's just about the same as doing it with another woman. You know, I mean, I know you don't like to hear this stuff. You don't like to believe this stuff even, but it's true. And pornography is an epidemic that plagues this country. If you're addicted to porn or if you're a frequent viewer of porn, you got to get away from it. And you probably can't do it by yourself. You might need some help. You might need some pastoral counseling. You might need some psychological counseling. You realize that 68%, almost 70% of divorce cases involve one party involved in porn addiction. 56% of those have an obsessive interest in pornographic websites. So, I mean, you know, you've just got to stay away from this stuff. It's out there. The internet's a great thing, and you can learn a lot of stuff on the internet. Hey, I study for my Sunday school lesson on the internet. Now, you can't believe everything just because it says it on the internet doesn't make it true, but it's a great resource. It's a great resource when you're trying to find out information on various topics. But just as quickly as it can become a tool for good, it can become a tool for evil. And with about two or three keystrokes, you've got people right there on your computer screen in all forms of sexual activity. It's dangerous, folks. It's dangerous. And we have to protect our children and our own selves from this onslaught of pornographic material and images that come up before us each and every day. It's a battle. It's a battle for the hearts and souls of our children and grandchildren. And we, as parents and grandparents, must keep our children safe. Are you going to be popular when you lock down the social media? Are you going to be popular when you lock down the TV from your kids? Are you going to be popular when you put passwords on Netflix and YouTube or anything else you might have in your home? Are your kids going to enjoy that? No, they're not. They're not. But you know what? Grow up. You're the adult. You be the parent. You know, God didn't make you a parent to be a buddy to your kid. God made you to be a parent. And parents aren't always buddies. Now, trust me when I tell you that relationship will change as years go by. You know, my son, when he was growing up, I was a parent. And there was a lot of times he didn't like me. You know what? Today's my best friend. My daughter is probably my wife's best friend. Not so when they were growing up, because we had to be parents. Now we can be friends. And you've got plenty of time to be friends with your kids. But right now, when they're young in their formative years and their teen years, they don't need friends. They need parents. So parent, grandparent, step up to the plate and do what's right. Wow. Now next week, and we'll probably spend a couple of weeks on it, but next week we're going to try to connect TV and video games, etc., to school violence, if there's any connection to be had. And some ideas of what we as parents and grandparents can do to stem the tide of this terrible epidemic we call school violence. Well, it's been wonderful being with you again today. And until we meet again, have a great week. And may God bless each and every one of you. Goodbye.